Listen up, everybody, the bottom line. I'm a black intellect, but I'm refined. Precision like a bullet, target bound. Just living like a the harlot sounds. Now, when I say the harlot, you know I need the hot beat of the equator, the buff that's in the pot.
Jalik, Jalik, you wind up your hip.
Drafting of the poets, I'm the number 7 pick.
Yo.
What's up?
What's up, what's up, what's up? Let me clear my throat. I got a lot of conversation to give today. Alright.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Little Tribe, wake you guys up. Oh my God, instrumental, paying homage to Five Dog, rest in peace. Q-Tip, inspirational.
Oh my God.
Oh my God. All right, so we got a little bit of an upgrade, correct? You went and got that piece for your headphones. You
yeah,
got Beats, I got these studio headphones.
I can hear myself crystal clear.
Crystal clear.
Crystal clear.
A little lisp over here. So yeah, you definitely got Dr. Dre on your heads. I have, what is this? Are these JBL?
No.
No, absolutely not. They're not JBL. They are like $10 speakers. Let's go. Shout out to Awkwafina. We don't do,
Awkwafina, Drew. Shout out sponsors.
Sponsors on this show, but I did drink Awkwafina this morning. I have an empty bottle in my hand. Brings note to that. But, anyway, yes, step into the AM podcast, episode 2. I'm Dave Mills, and I'm joined with
Cap Brandon.
Stupid over here. Yeah. We're kind of tired. It is currently 8:31 on a Thursday morning. We got school, a whole day of school ahead of us. I got work. I don't know about you. You got work after school?
Nah, today I have the day off.
I had my day off yesterday. I went and got me a haircut. Shout out to Bori's Barbershop on Washington Street. That place. Get you looking good.
Shout out to Fresh Cuts on 10th Street.
You didn't even get a good cut, man.
Next to Ben Davis. It was like a month ago, so.
They mess up your hair every time. I just don't say nothing to you.
Nah.
It's all good. But
they keep me curly and juicy.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah, okay, all right. So we're just going to start the show here then, I guess, because we got nothing else to open up with. Just to let you guys know in case, because this is only our second show, so I don't know if anybody listened to our first podcast. If you did, we had like 7 views, which is, I think that's amazing, you know, 7 views is like
people.
A million in my book, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So, straight sarcasm coming out of my mouth. On this show, we discuss hip-hop-oriented content along with other pop culture stories, and every once in a while... Well, we might have a special guest on here, and by special I mean someone that we know. Nobody.
I mean, we might have, you know,
Mike Epps is in the building, y'all. Like, you know,
Eminem is in the house.
We can try all we can, but as two 17-year-old, you know, high school kids, there's not much we don't have much force behind our voice, so.
Not yet.
Well, yeah, not yet, exactly. We're going to start small and big. But, yeah, to kick off the new year, because we just got back from break. Our winter break was until, the 9th?
Yeah.
So. We didn't pick up the first week, and now this is the second week back, and we're like, we need to get this thing rolling again because we did a show before break,
mm-hmm.
and because, yeah, we're in school, so we do breaks and stuff all the time because that's what we do to give us a little bit of a break on our mind. Mm-hmm. But we got back, and me and Brandon were just like, hey, man, let's do this, and then it ended up we tried to start it yesterday, and it took us more than 2 hours to get the freaking intro started, you know.
Yeah, so shout out to Tribe and the intro and Mr. Easter.
Mr. Easter helping us out. That was dope.
Right.
But yeah, so yeah, here we go with the new year. So a lot has happened since our last podcast here at WBDG. A new year has arrived. LaMelo and LiAngelo,
Lithuania.
They started overseas basketball careers. I didn't watch first game, but I was sitting in math class. And my this dude I know, Colin, he went out and bought a ball jersey.
Lithuania.
Yeah, and I was like, well, he started watching it in class, and there's another guy behind him, Connor. He was watching it too, and I'm like, what are you guys doing? Like, who really cares? But I guess they play in like quarter. Like, it's not one half, two half. It's like 1, 2, 3, 4 over there, and like it's different. Mm. And I don't know. I don't really follow basketball.
There's four quarters in NBA.
Yeah, but they're not. Oh yeah, I guess so. Okay.
But in college, there's.
That's what I was thinking. Was like
college. There's two. There's one and two.
Mm-hmm. So. But I thought it'd be more like that because, you know, they're both. One of them's not even in college, and LiAngelo.
Yeah, I don't even know how LaMelo.
I know.
He's like a sophomore or junior.
Yeah, he's our age.
Yeah, somehow he's playing. I don't even know.
Well, when your dad's LeVar, you get a lot of connections, I guess. You know what I'm saying?
So he just said.
Like, he's like, yeah, man, my son's going to play. And that's it. And if you don't let that happen, you know, we're going to raise hell with the media. And that's just what it is. What it is. So, all right, so that's happened. They've played more games than that one, but I know that's happened too. Offset, he tried to get out of his engagement with Cardi B with that cheating scandal. What do you think about that?
I think it's all publicity, like anything else in celebrity relationships. I think Cardi B, she's just like really trying to hold on to that like shine of light right now that she has, because as of right now, I think she's bigger than Nicki Minaj.
Oh, absolutely.
As of right now. But at the same time, I feel like, you know, Offset, he can find someone better. Just because she's famous, he can find someone so much better. Like, he's downgraded himself, to be honest, to Cardi B. I mean, Cardi B is bad, but at the same time, she's a little, you know, crazy.
Yeah, I don't want to speak ill if they're not here on their behalf to, you know, talk back.
Yeah.
But
Cardi B, come see me, you know.
Yeah, we'll definitely have a conversation. Hey, we might even put you on this thing. We might get some publicity, maybe 30 views instead of 7. Yeah. So that happened. I'm totally kidding about him trying to get out of his engagement, but that could be a possibility because he might have, you know, woken up and smelled the coffee. Rest in peace, to Combat Jack, radio legend. He died recently. Dave Chappelle got a new Netflix series that I haven't seen yet. Or not Netflix series, it's a Netflix special, but I haven't seen yet. But I watched his stand-up when it came out last year, and it was very, very funny. It was something new, something fresh, but it still had his own twist on it. The only difference is he's big as hell now instead of being a scrawny little pot-smoking Dave, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But that was good. That's definitely on my list to watch. H&M. Done lost all their street cred. We're going to kind of dive into that more as we go into the show, but I just want to hear, like, just a little what you think about it real quick.
I think it was all blown out of proportion, to be honest.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, I do. Only, I don't think H&M did it on purpose. I feel like it was an accident, to be honest. But I feel at the same time, someone had to look at that ad. And someone had to say,
okay,
you know, someone had to see it, and some, but at that time the picture was already taken, so they said screw it, so they just went with it. So yeah, it's bad on H&M's part for letting that happen, but I think it's just a laziness, or it was just a mistake.
All right, we'll dive back into that later on, and we'll get into depth. And last but not least, just recently at the Golden Globes, Oprah had her little spiel that everyone, you know, salivated over, and she's finna run for president from all the juice she received after that speech. So I don't know if it's gonna happen or not. If it does, I mean, like, it wouldn't be so shocking since we have Celebrity Apprentice on there right now. But so that's something to look out for. You know, I don't know, Denzel Washington as a running mate.
Denzel Washington would be better than Oprah Winfrey.
Bro, I like Denzel Washington. I want him to be in a good movie. Like, I wish him and Matt Damon would make a movie.
Denzel Washington, like, all of his movies are pretty good.
They are. Have you seen? You know Matt Damon is, right?
Yeah. I do. Denzel Washington's never really made a bad movie. Ever, really.
He made one recently that was, like, in theaters for a little bit of time.
Was it Transporter or something?
No. No. It looked like it was. I just saw the commercial. It looked like it was set in the 50s or something. And it was like them in like like an all black neighborhood. Mm-hmm. It seemed like.
Oh, yeah. With the football player.
Yes.
Kid.
Yes.
Okay, yeah. I never saw that.
It kind of looked like a modern Spike Lee joint, but I didn't know. Mm-hmm. And I didn't see it. It was only in theaters for a little bit of time, and I didn't, you know, go to the movies mm-hmm. during that duration, but. It looked good, so I look for that coming out mm-hmm. if it does. But all right, now with all that, you know, quick run through to catch you guys up. If you haven't heard and you live under a rock, we can move on to more current news that we're going to talk about right now. Okay, so flipping a page on my handy dandy notebook because I do not have a computer because, again, we are poor. We have jobs, but we're too poor for computers like Max to make ourselves look cool. That's why you don't see a video camera, you know, recording us right now. All right. Starting with new releases, along with upcoming potential releases on, what was it, Monday night? Yeah. Monday night at 12, so it would be Tuesday morning, actually. Dave East dropped Paranoia 2. And Paranoia, A True Story was his first mixtape that he dropped in 2017. he called it an appetizer of a mixtape that dropped in 2017 and then was followed up by another mixtape later on in the year titled Karma, which held fans off long enough while they awaited this new project. Dave East, I started listening to last year a little bit. No. I think the year before, mm-hmm. I heard some early stuff that he did, and I thought it was pretty tight. It's not like mainstream music now. It's more chillax, like early 2000s type music. I feel mm-hmm. like he actually raps in his stuff, like lyrically raps, not just, you know, noises yeah. and background.
Dave East, I don't know about you, but I first heard Dave East on, I think, Shea 45, and he was doing a freestyle. And his dad, I forgot which hip-hop legend he was, but his dad's a hip-hop legend.
Oh, for real?
Yeah, and that's how he kind of is famous. He's a really big Hispanic hip-hop legend. I'm about to look that one up, but he's really cool. I heard him with a song with Fabulous, and yeah, he still has a kind of New York flow, kind of. He's cool. And I haven't heard his new project yet, but I heard a lot of his old music he was dropping around a year or two ago, kind of like what you said.
Yeah. Well, like, I dabbled. As soon as I saw it, because I was up, you know, late making this, script that we were doing here. And it was 1:30 by the time it dropped at midnight that night. So I went on Spotify and I went and listened to it a little bit. And I don't pay for Spotify, so I do the shuffle thing through the album. And it jumped on a song. I think it was Annoying on there, and it had T.I. with him, and I liked T.I., and it was just a couple, he had a couple good features on there that really stood out, and T.I., he's a pretty big name, you know, and he even gave him a shout out on Instagram, so that obviously gives him a little bit of more of a following, more of a listen on stuff too, but it was a good little jam, I liked it, and Dave East, I mean, he's got a nice voice, a nice flow, and his lyrics aren't too cheesy or anything, so mm-hmm. I can appreciate that, and I like that a lot. So, good little project that just dropped. Migos follow up to their previous album, Culture, with Culture 2, which drops January 26th of this year. Almost exactly a year later after Culture, which dropped in January 27th, 2017, so it was like 364 days later. It features people like
Cardi B.
Are you talking about a new one?
Yeah, Culture 2.
Oh, I don't know yet. Dang. They haven't dropped
a track list.
But they did. I was just going to talk about the one that they had for Culture last year.
Oh, okay.
Like the people that were on there. DJ Khaled, Gucci Mane, 2 Chainz, Travis Scott, Lil Uzi Vert, you know. Mm-hmm. All these who are now like especially Lil Uzi Vert with his EXO tour life and stuff, they've become like huge. Mm-hmm. But yeah, so like that's really what put Migos on the map. I remember when they had that song Fight Night. I was like in eighth grade, bro, and mm-hmm. I was jamming to that. I was on the bus ready to go to wrestling meet, and I'd always lose, but I would jam to that stuff and get hype. And that was like the only song my buddy Blake showed me that. And I remember listening to that, and then that was the only song I listened to by them. And then all of a sudden they came out with Culture, and everybody was like, oh my God.
Yeah, it's them. There was a whole new wave of Migos after.
Yeah, like, because like it kind of like, I want to say the earliest song that I can remember that really, like, really, really put them on was Bad and Bougie.
Well, I remember there was Versace, and then there was Bando.
Yeah, but nobody really, at least like at my school, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know like people who are really into music, you know, knew.
Yeah.
But like I'm talking about like where mainstream really found out where it was like they were really on. Mm-hmm. I think Bad and Bougie was like the, because that was like their first big hit.
Versace got big because it had Drake in it.
Yeah.
And then.
But wasn't Bad and Bougie like their first song that made it
Bad
to like
Bad and Bougie was the first like
top 100 and stuff. Yeah. So that kind of put them on, and then so from there, and then they did remixes on that and stuff, and then mm-hmm. boom, now they're like everywhere and dabbling and everything. I honestly don't like them. I know a lot of people think I'm crazy because of that, but I'm old school. I like flow. I like lyricism. I like, you know, regular old just
old head.
Like little beats, yeah. Like that. I don't like all this crazy stuff coming on stuff.
17-year-old old head. How is that possible?
Yeah. So I don't know. Do you really enjoy them? Like when you put on your music, do you really like go to them at all? Or
Migos? Yeah. I feel like I go to certain tracks and certain songs. They have lyrics. Believe it or not.
Oh yeah, when you read into them and stuff.
Yeah.
But when if you read into anything, somebody's got punchlines. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. But it's the way that it's presented that really.
I think Offset is probably the most lyrical out of all of them. And then Quavo, he makes hooks. And then Takeoff.
Takeoff doesn't really.
He kind of more of ad-lib.
Ad-lib, yeah. And that's the thing. I think that's what gets me the most is the ad-libs. The ad-libs to me are the most annoying things in the entire world. And they're not the only ones that do it.
It's a little cheesy, but ad-libs have been around for a long time.
I know, but not overused. Over and over and the same stuff. You baby, know what I'm saying? Baby. When you say
baby, I believe.
But did Biggie use that in every song that he had? No. Don't they use like skirt skirt and like every song that have? Every song they have, they use that at least once.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? They even did it in the freaking National. By the way, this is a new topic now. Quavo had talked previously last year about bringing in a new version of the national anthem.
Mm-hmm.
And he finally pulled through on it. I think it was on Martin Luther King Jr. Day mm-hmm. when he did, because a video came out of old footage of him and stuff. And they even used Skirt Skirt in the freaking national anthem that he wants to provide as a new version.
Yeah.
It's not
going to happen.
It's never going to happen. But do I believe in, you know, like change or whatever. But like, mm-hmm. if you're really serious about that, making a serious attempt, right. No one's at a respectable and genuine level really gonna go with that version. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Like, if you're really like
how people, like, on some national anthem is like there'll be soul singers, or there'll be like opera singers, or there'll be duets, or, you know, there's people that out there that do different versions of national anthem. But when people disrespect the national anthem, people get offended, America gets offended, so it's not gonna work out.
Yeah, and like the backlash wasn't all that like that I saw in the comments.
Yeah, it would have been bad if he actually did it.
Yeah, so mm-hmm. like it was just kind of like
a joke
type thing. But I'm all for change. I think, you know, although it's historic, and I wouldn't mind it seeing it stay. I also wouldn't mind seeing it change, because like everything else in the world, I mean, change is a reoccurring thing, and. I know there's been arguments about, you know, when it was written and how it was written and why it was written and all that stuff and how it could be discriminative and all that stuff.
Yeah.
But it is, again, history. And it's just been something that we've lived by our entire life. That's all we as Americans really know for nationality. Mm-hmm. One, that's at least one song that we have that joins us together. You know what I'm saying?
Yep.
So it is what it is. But are you looking forward to the new album?
Culture 2, yeah. I'm going to give it a spin. You know, there might be one or two songs I like. I feel like, man, the Migos have changed to more of like auto-tune, like monotone, mm-hmm. like Travis Scott-ish, Metro Boomin, like, you know, those kind of like, you know, all that, I don't know, they've changed a little bit, but at the same time, they've gotten bigger, so of course, people are gonna change.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up, because I feel like, personally, they kind of started that whole new wave of the auto-tune type thing, because although they weren't so heavily in the beginning, they did use elements of that. And auto-tune's been around forever. We know, like, T-Pain mm-hmm. was really heavy into it and everything. Kanye mm-hmm. West is into it. But, like, the ad-libs, the mm-hmm. auto-tune, the flow even.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of the new rappers nowadays, you mentioned Travis, Lil Uzi Vert, even elements of, like, Trippy Red. Mm-hmm. I mean, like, all these new guys coming up, they all use elements that Migos have kind of laid a layer of already.
Yeah.
And I know, I believe it was Quavo who mentioned earlier in an interview like last year that everyone in the game right now is taking at least something from us, like a flow or something like that. And I kind of mm-hmm. like, although...
They didn't. I mean, I said, okay, I think they invented their own flow, but they really didn't, because they... You know, like anything else, they took pieces and parts from.
Oh yeah, absolutely, 36 absolutely.
Mafia or whatever.
Yeah, but you, I mean, because you know music just like I know music. We steady. We're heavy music listeners. You can tell a difference between this new wave and 10 years ago.
Yeah.
In the rapping, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like Kanye West, he could show like signs of that stuff before, but he'd always switch his flow up into something else, you mm-hmm. know. It wasn't constantly, you know, like over and over, and it's like, to me, it's very repetitive to say it's the same type of music, you know, with a little bit of a change in the beat and a mm-hmm. little bit of the change in the lyricism, and that's it. But like, where they took bits and pieces from other artists and made it their own, people took from them as like a whole and made it their own. So like, Migos kind of started this whole new wave, I feel like, and it's, mm-hmm. I don't know. So I give them credit for that, although I don't necessarily listen to it, you know, on a daily basis. But the next one, NBA Youngboy said his album is to drop by March 2nd, according to an iTunes pre-order link. He announced it on Instagram Thursday, January 11th. He's dropped 3 mixtapes in 2017. Some hit songs include No Smoke and Untouchable. I was first put on by
No Smoke.
NBA Youngboy, I want to say, this past summer. Mm-hmm. I was chilling at my buddy Kevin's house, and I was in his room because he was like in the bathroom or something. I was just chilling in the room, and he had his Xbox YouTube on, right? Mm-hmm. And this, it was just going through playlists and stuff, and NBA Youngboy came on, and I forget what song it was, but the music video, he was just chilling by a pool, money flying all over the place and stuff, and I was like, this is kind of tight.
Yeah.
But never looked too deep into it. I was like, ah, whatever. And then I came here to Ben Davis this year, and our buddy Dalen, he was real big into him because he came early on in the year, I think it was August, he came to Indiana, and they were always talking about how they were going to go see him in concert and stuff, and getting tickets and everything, and he kind of put me on to that a little bit, so now I listen to him a little bit. But do you listen to Never Broke Again?
I think NBA Youngboy is like probably top 5 street artists right now.
I agree,
for sure. And if you want to listen to street music, then he's probably the guy to go to as of right now. But as of like grimy street, you can still listen to your lyrical street music, mm-hmm. but you know. Yeah, I think he's cool. He just had a song with Kevin Gates, who just came out of jail. And that was kind of cool. I listened to that.
I haven't heard that. And I haven't heard anything from Kevin Gates. Do you want to, like,
elaborate on that, or, you know,
say anything about that since he's gotten out? Because it came out, he came out recently, right?
Yeah, he came out about a week ago. And Kevin Gates, the last song I heard from him, actually was recently, was with NBA YoungBoy and Kevin Gates. And that song was pretty good. I feel like they're both in the same category of street music, and they would probably, you know, blend together good. And his last album with Two Phones and Really Real, yeah, that was a banger. But that was like 2 years ago. So I'm gonna just like keep my ear out and hear, you know, what Kevin Gates has to do and what NBA YoungBoy has to do together. I feel like they're gonna have good, you know, mixture. I think I don't know who would be better since, you know, if you're gone for a certain period of time in hip hop, you fall off so quick.
Mm-hmm.
So it's hard to see if I think NBA YoungBoy is gonna be bigger or Kevin Gates as of right in, like, 2018.
Yeah.
I think NBA YoungBoy has more, I guess you say, heat on the street right now. So,
and that has to be due to the fact that he's been straight since he got out of jail.
Like you said, 3 mixtapes in 1 year. Yeah. So
that's I can agree with you on that. Now, where do you put, you said that they were, you know, like the top, some of the top guys in the street rap right now. Where do you put, like, who else do you put in that group? Like, I was thinking maybe T Grizzly. He's up there. I know he hasn't come out with much since his first little 2 songs that he had. I don't personally like him, but I know a lot of people do like him. Mm-hmm. I prefer NBA YoungBoy, Kevin Gates over him. But I would say out of recently, he'd be up there.
Recently, G Herbo.
G Herbo, yeah. But G Herbo, the thing is with G Herbo is not a lot of people – like, they know him, they know of him, they listen to, like, one or two songs from him, but they don't,
low key.
You know what I'm saying? Like, he's still, like, pretty low-key from that. Mm-hmm. But I love G Herbo, so.
G Herbo, TK.
You put him up there?
As of just being hot on the streets, yeah, TK. I don't know if you still count 21.
No, I don't. He went commercial.
Yeah, he went commercial.
Pretty quick. As soon as he got that Amber Rose bod, he was like, you know what? Maybe, you know, gunning down people just isn't cool enough anymore. Maybe I just need to, you know, fall in love.
Yeah.
Nothing wrong with that. I'm not promoting gun violence or anything, but I'm just saying, as of this, you know, topic we're talking about right now, I don't put him in that category.
Probably all time legendary, kind of like 2010 street. Probably Chief Keef.
Oh, yeah.
For sure. But, again, a lot of these street artists have problems. Or you could say Kodak, but I think he kind of went commercial, too.
I don't know. I don't know, because he just got back into jail, right? Or back into custody, or is he just got out? Yeah. I never know about Kodak. But he's always in and out.
Yeah, I feel like when he signed to Atlantic Records, when people sign to huge record labels, it just kind of, like, screws them over, makes them not who they are. Like,
lost in the sauce.
Yeah, if NBA YoungBoy signed to Def Jams or Atlantic Records or...
You think he'd go commercial?
Interscope or something like that, yeah, he would go commercial.
Well, because I can agree with you on that, because I think part of what makes this, you know, like, street rap, like, grimy street rap stuff is the grind that they have to go through in order to produce the music that they put out. You know what I'm saying? Because not only are they living in the situation that they're talking about, but they have to find the production to do it, and they have to, you know, find places and money to come up with to put this stuff on. And then when they finally get on a little bit, they got a little bit more money. It just makes them work even harder to keep grinding for that. And then when they finally reach that level, that's when, like, they kind of just, you know, space off, go commercial, do their own thing.
At the same time, like you said, if you don't have a big record label, then you end up like G Herbo, or you end up like...
And that's the, you know...
And, like, you just don't get big, and no one hears you.
The meter, it's like, you kind of like, do you want to play in the middle, you want to play on one end or the other?
Because, like, if you want to make money, then sign to a big record label. That's how it is.
Yeah. But if you want to be, like, real to what you're talking about...
If you still want to stay in the hood and make rap music, then... That's do you, but you're not going to make money, I guess.
Yeah.
All right. So we talked earlier about the H&M little scandal that they had going on, mm-hmm. and I just want to dig a little bit deeper into that. I just want your thoughts. I know you kind of dug in a little bit on it. You said it wasn't intentional, you don't feel like, but somebody had to kind of like say okay to that.
Yeah, someone in H&M ad department, they got to look over everything. They're not going to just let something go on a magazine, go online, go on an ad or whatever, and just let, you know, people got to look over that type of stuff. So someone looked at it. They might have not looked at it all the way, but someone looked at it and approved it. And whoever approved it should be fired for sure.
Well, they did get rid of some people. They got rid of some higher up, and they came out with an apology. They stated that they're going to, hire some more. Because an argument that they had, that people had about this whole situation, was that they didn't have enough, minority figures in the mm-hmm. in the big up of H&M. And so they said in their apology after that they were going to start hiring more minority head figures and stuff. Mm-hmm. And people, some people are like, oh yeah, that's okay, and then other people are like, nah, it's just like a band-aid, mm-hmm. Just to cover the wound, but really it's not like,
No, I feel like that's the people that are advocating that this is racist are just very liberal, to be honest.
Yeah, I agree.
And they're blowing it out of proportion. And if you think about it, H&M, okay, they're a low-end fashion brand. Mm-hmm. So who are they gonna advocate towards? They're going to advocate towards people in inner cities and people that don't have a lot of money.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of people in inner cities and don't have a lot of money tend to be minorities anyways. So they're really helping blacks, Hispanics, and white people that don't have as much money as others. So they're not out to hurt minorities at all. They just, whoever did this screwed up, and H&M did their apology. Now, if this happens again, that's going to be different.
Yeah, because then it's a reoccurring thing. It's just like...
Yeah, you can only turn the cheeks... You can only turn your cheeks so many times before, people get upset. And people are already upset, but I feel like they're upset. They're overly upset, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. So. And not only is it regular people like you and I that are upset, that could be upset, but famous people... left and right are outraged. Twitter and Instagram post about this. T.I. on Instagram and a mm-hmm. couple other people, I can't remember, they drew up a thing with him with that sweatshirt, but it had a crown on it, said mm-hmm. King, like that, and it was like Young Black King or whatever. And for those of you who don't know, I know we kind of just jumped into the subject or whatever, if you haven't heard about the H&M situation, what had happened was a young child, a black child, and he had a green sweatshirt that says, what was it, like best monkey in the jungle, or
yeah, said I'm a monkey or best monkey in the jungle or something like that.
Yeah, something like that. And
it said monkey on the sweatshirt,
so. And that's what threw people off, was because there was all these other like white kids around him on this like little picture thing on the website, mm-hmm. and they were all wearing, regular, little kid stuff. And then they had to put the one black kid on the screen with the monkey reference on there. So that's what threw people, outrageously mad and everything. Mm-hmm. But the mom had come out and said that it was not, that they saw it. They did not care. They were just like, whatever. Mm-hmm. They weren't tripping over it. Mm-hmm. So do you think that because the mom said it was okay, that people should really be tripping on it?
If the mom said it was okay.
Because like the kid at that age, especially, he probably had no clue. Probably doesn't even know that that's used as a racist, term.
The child has no idea. You got to realize these kids are still kids. And when they think about monkey, they're not thinking about the 60s. And they're not thinking about current day racism. They're just thinking about, Dora, you know what I'm saying?
They got
monkeys
on
Dora. They're not thinking about, the past and what that meaning held, currently and back in the day. It's just blowing out of proportion. It was just, if someone screwed up, that person hopefully got fired. The administration that held that ad campaign hopefully got fired, mm-hmm. and then they move on. Don't do it again.
Along with that, some people dropped from clothing line with him. I know.
Yeah.
The Weeknd.
Nicki Minaj.
He got done with that. Nicki Minaj. I didn't see that. But Nicki Minaj, The Weeknd said he was done affiliating with them at all. What's period. G-Eazy.
Yeah,
he came out and he said he didn't have anything drop yet, but he was in the works. He had a contract that had been signed for him to go do that. Mm-hmm. And I forget how I seen him on the Breakfast Club talking about it.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow he got out of it due to some legal stuff. He got out of it. Now he doesn't affiliate with them at all. And so everyone's withdrawal from them. But I don't think it's really going to affect the company. Because you said, they're really cheap.
Yeah.
And they're cheap. And they're not, I mean, like, you know, you might throw them in the washer a couple of times. They might tear apart. But for a good amount of time, you can get a nice little crew neck for $15.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like going to Walmart and getting a Fruit of the Loom, you know, crew neck. And so, like, people
T-shirts
that don't.
$2-$3.
And jeans for $30, the ones that look like you can get American Eagle for $75. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So, like, people who are less fortunate that need to go there and, like, you know, or not even, like, less fortunate, people that just like style and stuff. I mean, they're still going to buy that stuff over there. Because of that reason, and I think they know that, and so this apology, while it was heartfelt, I think they know in the back of their head that it's really not going to affect anything they got going on. But is there anything you have to throw on the table to talk about that you want to get off your chest, you want to get off your mind, anything such like that?
I mean, we could talk about Trump and what he said, supposedly said to his administration about overseas countries being bleep holes.
I haven't seen anything. I heard about it,
mm-hmm.
but I haven't heard enough to talk about it. You know what I'm saying?
All right, I could tell you what happened.
You give me the gist, and we'll make an assumption off of that.
All right, so a senator was in the room with Donald Trump, and they were talking about immigration and policies. And in the meeting, Donald Trump was talking to the senators. And Donald Trump was like, he was like, so why are we bringing all these people from these foreign countries? And like, he was like Africa and Haiti, they're all S-word countries. S-word holes countries.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's what he said. And there's a big out. There's a big outlash right now because personally, my family is from South Africa and Malawi. So, and there's a lot of African immigrants, there's a lot of Haitians in America.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like as a president, this was very inappropriate. Not the first thing he's ever said was inappropriate, but this is very inappropriate to say, especially as supposedly the best country in the world's leader. You know, how is that good for representation for us? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I can see where you're coming from. Again,
but these are also allegations still. There's no 100% proof that said that he said this. But
oh, there's not?
No.
Oh, okay.
It's just at a meeting, a bunch of people said that this is what he said. But there's no video or audio saying that he actually
So he didn't actually call the people. Because what I saw, the little bit that I saw, because I didn't read up on it, I just saw little things, you know, the pop-up. Like, people were mad at what he did and said that he had called, like, accused the people from there as being assholes. When he mentioned the country as a whole.
Yeah.
Now, I'm just kind of playing devil's advocate here. I'm not on one side or the other because, again, I don't know anything. Now, when he said that it was just the countries, is it being blown out of proportion by bringing in the people, or is he just mentioning the state of the country? Because, as we know, Haiti has been in a, you know, they're in a weather
crisis.
You know what I'm saying? Like, The location of their place is on it is. I mean, it is kind of like a bad place. You know what I'm saying? Do you think? Do you think it's just because of the wording he used, and that's why? Because if he'd worded it a different way, it'd have been a different outlook on it.
I think that brings up the topic of what should the president be able to say and not say. That seems to be Trump's problem. He doesn't know what to say. I'm not a Trump hater necessarily, but I feel like he's not a people person. You know what I'm saying? He's a good businessman. He's been giving people a lot of money through his tax breaks recently. And a lot of people have been getting a lot of retirement money from that. But at the same time, he's not a people person. I don't think he's going to help, you know, he's not going to help as minorities at all. Who aren't minorities besides their bank accounts? He's not going to help anything but their bank accounts, if that makes sense.
Yeah. And I understand that. And I've always said he's a businessman first.
Yeah.
And I think everyone that watched him through the campaign knew that going into this election, that that was what it was going to be about, was one, the wall, and two, business. You know, and that's really what he was trying. That was his overall goal, was the debt that we are in, because we are in, you know, trillions of dollars of debt, which we do need help on. So I think overall he's going to put a little dent in that big old hole. But I can also see, you know, and a lot of people see the non-people person that he is. And that I think what that has to do with, and devil's advocate here, is because he was in the business world for so long that, and this isn't an excuse for him or anything, but like the way that business people handle things versus politicians is completely different. Politicians are supposed to be sensitive to everyone's needs and supposed to be, you know, like the people's person. As a as a businessman, you're looking out for me and only me. You know what I'm saying? And so, like,
or your business.
Or your business. Exactly. Or your business. So, like, only to help you and your business out. So, I could see where the qualifications may not always be there, but at the end of the day, the goal that he set out for on his campaign, he's trying to reach. You know what I'm saying? So, like, people knew going into this when they voted for him or when he was elected that this was the stuff that he was going to be doing. But his wordage and the things that he says sometimes, because I like to be all for the president, you know, and I'm not bashing Trump or anything, because I believe whoever's in office you should support, because that is who your commander in chief is. I don't believe in, you know, hating on him or whatever. You can disagree all you want. But the things that he says sometimes make me, you know, question, you know, like, When people ask, like, why do people hate Trump? And it's like, well, the things that he says sometimes, you know, he's got to have a filter. And I don't think that he has that because of the business mindset he's had in the past. You know what I'm saying? And that's just my overall opinion. And this is just another incident because, like you said, this isn't the first time he said something outlandish or outrageous. So I think with time in the office and the backlash that he will continue to receive until things change, I think his overall mindset will cope and change with what people are trying to get him to sound like. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's my opinion on that.
Yeah, I feel like that's already happened a little bit, because he's comparing him to when he was actually campaigning, comparing him to now, he's not doing a lot of what he said he was going to do. Like, that wall's not going to happen.
No. But he still keeps it in the talk, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, it's still like, he's making the Trump hopefuls,
yeah,
like, you know, still hanging on to that.
That's a good thing, because a lot of these presidents, when they campaign, they'll go to places like say Bush, when he went to Louisiana, he went to Louisiana Baptist Church, and he went there and he campaigned, and he said he was going to help Louisiana recover from Katrina, and Katrina is still, that area in Louisiana is still struggling and is still a down place. So, you know, it's a lot of people, when they campaign, they make a lot of promises, but a lot of it doesn't happen. So.
And that's the thin line of being a politician, is that was that's what they try to do, is win you over with promises that they can't necessarily or don't necessarily keep. But I feel like Trump, so far, on what he really focused on in his campaign, because, I mean, he did BS a lot. I mean, every politician does. But he really did focus on, he is keeping in the talk. It may or may not get done, but he's keeping it in the talk. All right, so there we go. All right, so that we're gonna wrap things up here in the studio, whatever we're in right now, Studio B. I see people walking in the hallway. How we doing? Good. All right, they're not answering us. They can't hear us, Brandon. I don't know why you're talking to random people, but. You look good today. I like your Tims.
Right on.
Like your Tims.
Like your win, like the 96s.
Yeah. You already know. I got them gym reds on. You know what's up? What's up? What's good? I got the 11s. Came out 235, I think, with shipping.
235. Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know what? But it looked good. And it hurts my feet, but I look good. You know what I'm saying? So, but all right, so that's going to wrap it up here. Step into the AM podcast, episode 2. I'd like to start doing this thing, Brandon. I know you have some music on the top of your head. Mm-hmm. I want to start doing this thing where at the end of every show, we give out a song each that we want people to start listening to with the name of the artist. And just kind of leave it out there just to, like, have just, like, a song, you know, that we suggest. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So mine for today would be The Far Side's Ya Mama. I think it is a good old classic, you know, jazzy rap sound. And it has a nice little fun rhythmic lyricalness about it that, I don't know, I just like it. If you just go home and listen to that, that's a good little song to put on. And what about you, Brandon?
I was actually listening to Trillmatic earlier by ASAP Master. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I'm gonna throw that up in the air.
All right. Sounds good. Okay, so again, this is episode number 2. We'll be back next Wednesday. I know this is the Thursday that we posted this, but we're going to start doing it every Wednesday now that we have our intro and our outro set up. So I'm David Mills, and I'm joined with my buddy,
Brandon DJ Cap.
And we are out. We'll see you guys later. Peace.
Jalik, you wind up your hip. Drafting of the poets, I'm the number 7.